This week, the Queen City welcomes the second major of the golf season at Quail Hollow.
I think anytime somebody's beaten any of us out here, I think we're all fired up to try and come out here and compete. And I think that's what's great about our game is week in, week out, we get an opportunity to compete. And, you know, this week I was the best player. We'll see who the best players at the PGA.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan, good morning. Happy Flop Shot Friday, Fast Break Friday, Football Friday, Freeway Racing Friday.
Hello.
You know?
My microphone. Oh, hey, there you go. Hey, what's happening?
Why did somebody turn your microphone
off? I don't know. I was doing my table bang, and I couldn't hear my table bang, and I thought, this isn't good because I can hear you in my headphones, but if I can't hear my table bang, I don't think I'm on, but now I'm on.
Where is Primetime, the last show in?
No.
No, it would have been Nemec yesterday.
I'm not commenting on the schedule anymore because I had a really awkward moment with P. Harris at our boss's retirement party.
What do you mean?
I didn't realize that they had switched days of the week.
They did that
was
like
months
2 years
ago.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize that. I made a comment every, what are they, Tuesdays now?
Tuesdays.
Yeah, I made a comment about every Wednesday. If I'm ever in the car on Wednesday night.
Wow.
he looked at me and laughed and said, Dirt, we've been on Tuesdays for quite some time. Yeah. And I thought, dude, I'm in bed at 7:30. What do you want from me, okay? It's not my listening window. They asked me the day-to-day schedule. I'm not going to make any public comments because the last time I did, I embarrassed myself.
Now, Nemec, I knew he was Thursday, but I blanked there. I thought he had moved to Mondays, or was he starting? Did he start Monday?
No. He used to move to Mondays because there used to be when the Ducks were in the Pac-12, they used to regularly play
coaches
Thursday.
Show, right?
No, they would play Thursday nights most of the time. It was the Thursday Saturday in the Pac-12
basketball games.
The Big Ten, they're all over the place. So
gotcha.
Every once in a while, it would get bumped, but the Big Ten will play on a Tuesday and a Sunday and a Friday. They don't care.
It's all over the map.
Why would your mic have been turned off?
I didn't
though?
Have it potted up.
No.
That was me.
Yeah. Oh, that was you?
Yeah,
that was
me.
Damn it, Swigard. What are you doing over there? Great point from David.
I'm making sure YouTube works this morning.
Yeah, hey, we're on.
We're on with the right date and the right show.
Look at us, dude. We're cooking with gas today. I'm feeling good. David with a great comment right out of the gate. Should have been Friday 4 days ago.
I agree.
Yeah. It's a great point, dude.
I agree.
It's a great point. What are we doing?
I woke up Monday. I was like, it should be Friday.
Why is it not Friday today? Why do we have to wait 4 days? We all love Fridays. We got to wait around all week for that good feeling again.
I feel like a hot take Friday should have been thrown into the intro there. I don't know where this show's going to go today. I don't know what I'm capable of.
We got lots of options.
Oh, buddy, I'm getting spicy today.
Dude,
That guy's not a top five player of all time.
Spicy.
Really?
I want to start with a hot take.
Really?
I'm going to start with this, okay?
Yeah, Bill Russell's better than that, sure.
Come on. Why do we need to slam Bill Russell?
I'm not slamming Bill Russell.
You just did.
He's not Jokic. That's not disrespect.
Get 11 of these. All right?
Give him four NBA teams with only guys.
You realize the day after that show, while we're at the golf course, having a good time with all of our listeners, and we air that thing.
It's the draft.
That's 2 days later.
I think the draft's the day after the Fan Golf Classic.
Ooh, what day is the Fan Golf Classic again?
Fan Golf Classic's on 24th. Tuesday. Draft is almost always on a Thursday.
Okay.
As long as I've
take your word.
Been alive.
Take your word for it.
Ooh.
Did they move it to a Wednesday?
I don't know. I thought it was
the
25th.
This is fun right out of the gate.
He's the one that's confident. I thought it was the 25th.
The NBA draft this summer.
Yes.
Here is your lottery reveal with the number one pick in the draft on Wednesday, June 25th at 5 p.m.
They moved it.
The Dallas Mavericks are on the clock.
Okay.
What do you think? It's the NFL?
So the day before, we're going to be at the Golf Classic, and then the
next day we show up for the
NBA draft. Oh, it's going to be a busy week.
All of the comments about which one of us is the most stupid will be right there waiting for us.
Yeah, showing up, ready to go.
Yeah, make sure you don't take that day off.
Okay.
The Wednesday, Thursday.
So are they still going to do the thing they did last year?
Well, either Thursday. Don't take Thursday out because we got to react.
We got to react. It's Thursday, June 26th. I will be here.
Now that Friday.
Friday. Yeah, by that point.
We can talk about that.
3 days. Yeah. Fourth of July is right around the corner.
By then.
That Thursday should be a Friday. What are we doing?
Are they still doing the second round on the next day?
I think they are,
stupid,
yeah. Still
can they redo that? Because that flew like a
maybe that's why
last
it's
year.
A Wednesday now because they want to have the 2 day draft like they're the NFL.
Look, well,
they
I hate it. It
was awful.
I'm vocally against it, but can I ask you why do we give the NBA crap for doing that? The NFL does that. Hey, welcome to the first day. All right,
well,
see
they
you
just,
later.
They just need to retool it because the the TV they were in that weird studio.
That's why they can get away with it.
It was it was bad. I don't mind you doing the first round and then doing the second round the next day, but they got to come up with a better TV product because it was awful.
I need to get a takeout at the start of the show.
Let's go.
And I understand that what I'm about to say.
It's a fire Friday, apparently.
I'm kind
of
afraid.
The final rounds on Saturday of the NFL draft averaged 4.3 million viewers.
Yeah.
The final rounds?
Saturdays, rounds 4 through 7 across ESPN, ABC, the NFL Network, and like ESPN Deportes got 4.3 million viewers.
Boy, we are.
It's
our porn
a problem,
addiction,
dude.
It's
I think that beats a lot
porn.
Of NBA playoff games.
It does.
That's not.
It does.
So that's why they could get
the
away
NFL
with
is
it.
Crack.
I digress.
It really is. It's just crack.
Colin led his show yesterday with the NFL, and Dirt was like, leading at the NFL. And I was like, well, you're probably the best idea.
Yeah, you know.
When in
NFL.
Doubt,
doing a
punt.
National show.
You
yeah.
You guys got any more NFL schedule takeaways today? You want to talk about more of those?
I do have NFL at 6:15.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, hot take. What do you got?
So, well, I don't even know if it's a hot take. I'm actually afraid that even if there's one listener that likes me, that listener is about to not like me.
Uh-oh.
Are people really going to go watch this Superman movie?
Yeah, we got another Superman movie.
It was shoved down my throat last night like 6 different times on the trailer, and I'm just asking genuinely, are we just going to keep making 90,000 different versions of this until somebody's like, it's finally good? He is the most overrated superhero.
Ooh.
His costume is easily the worst.
Spicy.
It looks ridiculous. The difference between him and not him is a pair of glasses. Could you imagine if Swag was like, hey, I'm Jason. And then he pulls him off. Now I'm Swag. And I'm like, oh, have you met Jason Swag? It's such a stupid superhero, and they can never make a good movie.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a lot of dud Superman movies over the years.
So why are we still doing it? Why are we acting like this is finally it?
This is the one that will do it.
This will break through. The guy that made this one did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, it's the same guy.
Like, yeah, well, the superhero's still the same. He still sucks.
Yeah, still a boring superhero.
What's your weakness? A green rock that's not near you. Oh, so who's your nemesis? Well, really nobody, because I can pick building up, but I pretend it's a bald guy. How did he get the green rock? I don't really know. He went to my snow home. You have a home?
He's got a snow home?
Yeah, in Antarctica, but somehow it takes me back to my planet. What?
He lives in Antarctica? I didn't know this.
Where'd you grow up? Iowa.
Iowa. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
He's a terrible superhero.
Yeah, I it's a perfect take for me. You know how I feel about most superhero movies to begin with, let
how
alone
how many of these do we need?
How many
how many Batmans are enough?
The only interesting one about
this
but
Batmans don't largely you could say the Afflecks, but like they at least got the Nolan Batmans.
Yeah, there's at least a good chunk in
there's
there.
A good little run there.
Yeah. You had a good window.
Michael Keaton was good. Christopher Reeve was plenty for me. He
was good. That was good. Stop there.
I feel like it's the funniest thing when you get older that you don't quite realize when you're a kid because everybody has their first person that is the superhero. Like the first time you see it, whatever your Batman is or your Spider-Man or your Superman or whatever. I do get a genuine chuckle out of getting older and watching different people become that superhero, and we're just like going to continue to make the same movie over and over and over again. How many Superman movies have come out in the history of movies? Like, what's the catalog?
Are we
going to
count
point?
This one? Because
counting
coming out?
This one that's coming out. Like, what's the number at?
Was there one? Was there like a black and white before Christopher Reeve?
Maybe.
Like a movie, full length movie?
But when did the Christopher Reeve one come out?
What? I don't know. 80s.
Late 70s. So we've been
like
making
that?
This since the late 70s. Since the late 70s, early 80s. These have been coming out. We got another Superman now.
Here it is. According to Yahoo, in 2023. So I don't know if there's been one since. And then we've got this new one or if it's just one. let's rank all nine of the Superman movies.
So this is at least 10.
This is at least 10.
No, this says 11 now.
Oh, okay.
So 11 Superman movies.
Let me guess. He survives?
Let me guess. Bulletproof still.
He beats the bad guy. I'm going to go out on a limb there.
It's
him
more...
and Lois get together at the end. Is that how it's going to go? No way.
So it's more about the technological evolution of movie making that they can make cooler special effects. Is that pretty much what it's about?
Sweet. Yeah. Less actors, more computer generated stuff. Yeah. Awesome. Can't wait.
Because yes, the story fundamentally hasn't changed.
It never changes. It's the same story. You can put a little spin on it, but it's the same thing. Same with Spider-Man's when they come out. It's like, let me guess, the uncle dies? I love how
Spider-Man is at least a fun superhero.
Sure, I'll grant you that.
He's a younger person, like the new versions with Tom Holland and Zendaya, those are fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you guys are wrong. They have made way too many of these.
Yeah, there's a lot of these.
And I get it. We can nitpick, oh, how many Batmans, how many Supermans, how many Spider-Mans? He's just the worst one.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not even like...
He's invincible.
Suspenseful. Yeah, it's like, well, there's a bad guy. He robbed a bank. Let me guess. He's going to chase him down and grab him and it's over.
You know what he is? He's Kevin Durant joining the 73-win Warriors.
Yes, 100%.
It's just like, let me guess. He's like, all right, yeah, he wins again. Okay, cool. Yep. That was not suspenseful.
He's Patrick Mahomes in the AFC.
Yeah, he really is. Just...
Guys, I think the Miami Lex Luthers will beat him this year.
the Buffalo.
Really?
Tua? They got a chance at it. This is their year. No, not going to happen. The only thing interesting about this one to me is Rachel. I'm a big Rachel Brosnahan guy. Is that how you say her last name?
I don't know who that is.
I think she's Lois Lane in this movie.
Only Rachel I know is McAdams.
Lois Lane.
Rachel Brosnahan?
You'd recognize her. She was in House of Cards. She was the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which was one of my favorite TV shows.
I never ended up seeing Miss Maisel.
God, I love that TV show. Yeah. Phenomenal television show.
That was one the Mrs. enjoyed.
You would love that TV show,
and I found myself, if it was on, I would watch it.
I don't recognize her.
You don't recognize her?
House of Cards.
She was the hooker in House of Cards.
The one that got pushed in front of a train?
No, that was the reporter.
That was Mara's granddaughter.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was Mara.
She was the one that slept with the congressman, and then there was a storyline throughout. I think they end up killing her at some point later. Sorry, spoiler alert.
That's okay. I forgot about that show because, you know, the whole Spacey stuff happened.
Yeah.
Kind of blocked out that. But you and I were obsessed with that show at the beginning.
That was a great show.
Phenomenal TV show.
Knocking on wood. Very accurate. Documentary, some would say.
Yeah, some people would say very realistic here from Kevin Spacey.
I mean, maybe she'll make it good.
I mean, I'm still not going to see it, but I follow her on Instagram, so, you know, got that going for me.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, I don't need 11 more of these.
No, I'm out on this one.
No.
I'm out.
No.
I don't think that's that hot of a take. I think that's a good take.
You think that's about right?
That's a solid take.
All right. No.
Anybody who disagrees with you,
we got your back there.
There's
like 8 other superheroes that are infinitely better to root for.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
You know, like, what was the Wonder Twins?
The Wonder Twins?
Yes.
From Australia?
No. The Wonder Twins. I know what you're talking about.
Like, yeah. Wonder Twins.
One of them took the form of some water, and the other one was an animal.
That's right.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
The Wonder Twins. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Dude,
which spawned on Saturday night the ambiguously gay duo.
That's right. It was formed
from the Wonder Twins.
Yeah. Aquaman's more interesting. Is he going to hook up with a fish or a human? I don't know.
It could go either way here.
Let's see where this goes.
It's going to get wild,
gills?
Dude.
What?
Yeah, how you breathing right now? I don't know how you breathe with that in your
deeply.
Mouth.
Deeply.
Slap those tails, man.
All right, well, it's going to be a fun Friday.
Yes.
Just throw that out there as well.
We do get a Game 7.
We have a Game 7.
Dude, fantastic. Our parlay hit last night.
You're damn right it did.
We're riding a heater into Sprague in the line today.
Exactly.
We have a Game 6 that I think emotionally for
feels
a lot
like
of fans is going to feel
seven.
Like Game 7.
Yeah.
But also, if they go to Game 7, I don't think we'll be shocked because that home team farts around a lot. And they always put themselves in weird spots.
I kind of hope we get a Game 7, to be honest with you. I hate the Celtics, but just from an entertainment
that
standpoint.
That Game 7 will be Monday evening.
I mean, the Knicks punched their ticket to the conference finals after Tatum went down.
I have Knicks friends. I don't think they could handle a Game 7 because it would feel like it's over.
It's going to ruin their whole weekend because it won't be till Monday night.
Yeah, you got to sit around and wait and wait and wait. Can you imagine if they lose a 3-1 series without Tatum in the lineup? Oh, buddy.
So we'll get to that today. I'm excited about this. And Dirt is going to crap all over it. How do you know that, Sprague?
I've worked with them long enough.
Mm.
Wrote on the show sheet and was like,
Can already hear Dirt's voice booing it.
You guys share the same cycle.
We do. So I'll tell you what that is coming up. We're going to go to Chicago. Shane Riordan, our good friend in Chicago. He is friends with Caleb Williams' dad, who made a name for himself yesterday.
Boy, did he. This is curious.
I want to talk about that. Well, I'm going to start the show there. We'll get to the game six of OKC Denver. We'll get to that, preview the game seven stuff. We'll get to it. I want to start with this, a little football. The takeaway from Caleb Williams and his dad from the Seth Wickersham story, I want to start there. It is good to be with you. Let's get it going on a Friday. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Poll question is up. Is Superman the most overrated superhero? Yes or no, at Dirt and Sprague. You can disagree with the take on Twitter.
Overrated.
The Cleveland Cavaliers of superheroes. Nobody's buying it.
No. A regular season performer. Get out of here. They'll be bouncing the second round.
Help, I'm in trouble. No, you're not. The sun charges you up.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's ridiculous. So yesterday, these blurbs come out. So Seth Wickersham is writing a book about quarterbacks. And Seth Wickersham, as many of you know, I don't really need to say this, but I'll tee it up anyway. He is probably the best investigative writer out there in sports.
You don't want to get Wickershammed. He's going to get all the deets on you.
He gets a lot of deets. Go back to the Seahawks Legion of Boom days. They poo-pooed it, and a year later, nobody was there. And it was like, oh, looked like guy was right.
He was 100% accurate.
Now, this is where I just want to say quickly, the guy after us on the Fan, Colin Cowherd, was ahead of this last year around the draft. And then eventually, he basically walked it back and didn't give himself enough credit because he was ahead of this. And the report was initially that Carl Williams, the father of Caleb, was looking for ownership stake, was one of the narratives.
Yeah.
And that he was very hesitant to send Caleb to the Bears. And then Colin said that and then kind of walked it back a little bit. He did interviews in Chicago. I listened to him and he'd be like, oh, you know, some were saying, but I think it's good. Well, as Wickersham came out with this book, and it's American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, and it's coming out pretty soon. And in it, he's got blurbs from Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, who says, quote, Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die. Caleb Williams wondered aloud to people in his circle, do I want to go there? I don't think I can do it with Shane Waldron. Ended up being right there.
He was correct on that one.
And basically, him and his dad just debated whether they were going to blow up the draft and do what we had seen other quarterbacks in draft history do. He had a meeting with Kevin O'Connell, Caleb did, and basically was like, I want to play for this guy. He's brilliant.
I want to be on his team.
And knew that it would be a struggle to get a division rival to make a trade with another division team.
Bears aren't trading you to the Minnesota
Bears
Vikings.
Were never going to do that. Ryan Poles was basically like, we're going to draft you, so... And then they visited. Look, there's other blurbs. Williams says, I don't want my son playing for the Bears. He added the rookie cap is just unconstitutional. It's the worst piece of S I've ever read. It's the worst in sports history. But after a visit, Caleb walked out and basically was like, we can do this. I can do this. Let's go to Chicago. What was your thoughts and takeaway when these blurbs came out yesterday after our show?
Yeah, there's a couple angles on this. One, I did chuckle at the rookie cap part of it and wanting to basically break that through and say, well, they have control of him over the next 8 years if they want to. And I would argue the rookie cap is one of the best things that's happened in the NFL over the last 20 years because this idea that the number one pick can just negotiate whatever contract they want to an unlimited amount is laughable to me, and there has to be some scale to it because it's insane to pay a guy who's never stepped foot on an NFL field that much money.
Okay, so quickly, I don't necessarily disagree with you. We remember the Bradford stuff.
Jamarcus Russell, I mean, there's a million of these guys.
But, like, in a way, much like the NBA with high school basketball players, you're basically creating something that stops teams from doing stupid stuff, correct?
Yes.
So I can kind of understand his perspective.
Oh, I get it from his perspective. His son's the number one pick in the draft. Yeah, he wants to make as much money as possible.
Right.
Here's the reality,
he's also coming from college where at this point now, son is making a lot of money.
If he has two good years, the next 2 years in Chicago, he's going to receive a $50-plus million year extension.
No doubt.
Like, he's going to be fine financially. It's all going to work out for Caleb Williams if he's a good player. I chuckled at that note there. We heard this stuff going back to his last year at USC, that he was going to try and control what team he would play for. This has been kind of bantied about for quite some time. I the timing of it being released is interesting. Them being as open and transparent with a writer who is known for this track record of kind of exposing things is very interesting to me. And the biggest takeaway was something that you didn't even mention. And I think it makes the organization, like him saying, I want to go play for Kevin O'Connell, like I'm not surprised at all by that. Him being concerned about the Bears quarterback history, I'm not surprised at all by that. All of this is stuff that you would have said, hey, a year and a half ago, do you think Caleb wants to go to Chicago? Like, yeah, probably not. They haven't had a good quarterback in a long time.
They've never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Not surprised by any of that. He tried to exert his control. Can we go to the UFL? They tried to, you know, diagnose different solutions around this, and for them, there just wasn't one, and he ultimately ended up saying, I'll go to Chicago. I don't want to nuke the entire city. Pretty tough spot to put a relationship in. The biggest red flag in this for me is something where it's like, where a year and a half to 2 years later, you just want to say, see, I told you so. And it's the notes on how they handled him in his rookie season in Chicago from a coaching standpoint. They didn't watch film with him.
Yeah.
They didn't tell him what to watch. He basically complained and said, I would go home. Nobody's giving me any direction. They're just, you know, throwing on game film, and he just has to watch it on his own. And that was the biggest thing when they got the number one pick, or Carolina got the number one pick, and they were able to draft Caleb Williams. We all screamed, now's your time for a fresh start. Now's your time to go hire an offensive coach. Now's your time to go get somebody who has a proven track record with offensive play calling and working with quarterbacks. And instead, they decided to keep their lame duck defensive coordinator coach, Matt Eberflus, who was a zaddy at that point and thought that it would work out for him. And according to this, it was an absolute disaster behind the scenes last year.
So I can certainly understand people that hear or see that blurb and see all this stuff from Carl Williams and Caleb Williams and say, how dare he say this stuff? Why would you ever say this? Well, one, you got to remember, these quotes are old. This wasn't yesterday.
No, it was leading into the draft last year.
He's already come out. Ben Johnson did an interview with Colin, who basically was like, we got a good relationship. Caleb's like, hey, I'm glad he's here. He's going to push me. I love that.
They fixed the mistake they made last year.
You don't have to love Caleb Williams. You can hate Caleb Williams, whatever. Like, the one thing I think is abundantly clear about Caleb Williams is he wants to be coached. He wants to work. Now, will he be able to improve upon what his season was last year? We'll have to wait and see. I saw that blurb and I thought, what? Come on. Number one pick. So what I did was, I'm not in Chicago. I don't cover the Bears. I turned on 670 The Score yesterday, our sister station in Chicago. And I listened to multiple interviews. Wickersham was one of them. And basically, what I would say their station was, if you were to tune in for our station for Blazer Thoughts, I would imagine you'd trust what we're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost a universal, I know that seems unlikely that the number one pick in the draft was watching film without any real guidance. I totally understand that perspective. There are players on that team last year that were telling many, on the record and off the record, these dudes don't know what they're doing.
No.
Let's go back to the Commander game. Do you remember how that ended?
I do.
Their defensive back, Johnson, did an interview on 670 the following Monday. And they basically were like, he didn't know he had a timeout, and he didn't really say anything.
No, remember the end of the game on Thanksgiving when Eberflus just stood there as the clock dwindled, not calling the timeout?
I do. So, like, did they actually do film sessions with him? Yes.
I mean, of course they did.
Did Waldron give him feedback and thoughts? I'm sure. But did they do it to the point where the number one pick is struggling and they're like, every waking second? It doesn't appear so. And no. So I think some of these comments are going to make people who already hated Caleb not like him.
Sure.
But having listened to Chicago radio a lot yesterday, because this story was wow, I think my takeaway is, one, don't blame a dad at all. I know sports dads can be a thing. Dude, clearly they were proven right. That coaching staff sucked.
They were terrible.
He met with Kevin O'Connell. Clearly, he knew what he was talking about because, you know, Sam Darnold got paid by it.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to this. It's not the fan base. It wasn't like he was like, the fans suck. You know, he says, I'm going to nuke the city. Like, that's not a shot at the fans. That's just like the organization's a little shaky.
That was a negotiation tactic. They were trying to think, how can I get the hell out of Chicago and playing for the Bears? And if I come out and just publicly bash the city constantly, he thought maybe I would get to a point, or they would get to a point where they thought they couldn't draft him number one.
I didn't hear any callers, by the way, on 670, because they did caller segments. I didn't hear one single caller go, yeah, I don't know about Caleb now, man.
No, I think
he's not our guy.
There's a lack of trust in the organization, and there should be.
Yes.
I think nobody...
The ownership group blows.
They're terrible. They've been a terrible organization
Polls
forever.
Shaky. Got good trade, but also, why did you keep Eberflus. Shane Waldron was a bad hire. We all knew it.
Yeah, this should have been you should have hired Ben Johnson last offseason. You should have made this move that you made last offseason. I think Chicago, to their credit, after just dumping on them for the last 15 minutes, has had a very good offseason. I think they've fixed their mistake at head coach. They've upgraded their offensive line. Like, I think they're heading in a very good direction. They've added weapons for him. Like, they've done what you need to do for a young quarterback to put him in a position to succeed where they failed last year. You just hope that his confidence is still there and that there's still something. He didn't lose a spark last year because he was sacked nearly 70 times.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time we've seen a player do this. That's the other funny part about it that I chuckle at. This has been going on in the NFL for a long time.
Is there any – I'm going to ask you this. Actually, I'll ask you this question on the other side. You can answer it on the other side. And then also we need to get to Mudball.
Mudball Gate. You guys like your Mudballs?
Oh, God.
Isn't that a snack at Bandon Dunes?
Mudball?
Don't they have like those little like somebody count me with that. Those little like peanut butter protein balls. What do they call them?
They call them mudballs?
I don't know. I can't remember what they call them, but I remember they're like a delicious.
Where did you buy them?
Snack at the turn at one of the courses, and you get them, and they're like a little ball. And they're like a little protein peanut butter.
I mean, that
thing.
Sounds delicious.
It's delightful. It's pretty. You just kind of pop them in your gullet, and you're good to go.
Well, I'll ask you this question: is this same situation going to arise again?
Yes.
In the NFL with this player. And also, Mudball. That's next on The Fan. All right, we nearly had a hole-in-one on a par four at the PGA. We'll get to the Mudballs.
We did have an ace.
There was
on the
an
par
ace.
Four?
No,
on a par three.
It was an ace yesterday.
Who was it, Johnny Vegas?
It was not. I can't remember who it was.
Luth Snakestein? Rob Groper?
Big fan of Rob Groper. Big fan of his work.
Timmy Titas? All these porn names are leading the PGA. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm curious here. I don't think this person will. He's kind of established himself as like, hey, I got the name, but I'm kind of different. With Caleb and his dad talking months ago, year ago, about not wanting to be a Bear because the history and the organization's not great and really, I mean, look, you can hate Caleb Williams. The dude wanted to be with a good quarterback coach. That doesn't seem crazy to want as somebody that's, kind of the hottest commodities in his profession.
So much of their success is on things that are out of their hands.
And he knows that.
And that's a very difficult, I think, reality to accept for some of these players.
Is there a chance, because this would have really set the world on fire had he actually followed through with nuking the draft.
Would have been wild.
There was Shedeur Sanders talk about a year ago about him doing something like this as well. And, you know, I can tell you a difference, but if you can't connect the dots, it's more of a you problem.
He's not that level of a prospect.
Well, not just Shedeur, but if Caleb had done this, people would have lost their minds.
For sure they would have.
Even though we saw somebody do this in 2004.
And somebody do it before that. Somebody did it in the 80s. He tried to follow the same exact playbook. When Elway did it, he came out and just took a steaming dump all over the city of Baltimore.
I wonder what the difference is. But I ask you, is there another man named Manning? Whose grandpa could be stepping in here in a year or two saying, no, we're not going there again.
Carl gave Archie a call, the old Archie, said, hey, how'd you guys do that with old Eli? Didn't want to go to San Diego. How'd you pull that bad boy off? He tried to get his thoughts on how they handled it. I wouldn't be surprised in the least. This will always be a conversation with that position and with certain organizations in the NFL. It will always be. The only criticism I have of the Williams here is simply that the strategy of allowing all of this, like allowing an author around you while you're trying to navigate this landscape so that this book is going to come out a year later. It's just that to me is the only thing that I question. Of like, I don't blame them at all for having the thought, thinking about it, trying to execute a plan.
Right.
Like,
that's all about your football and your football career.
The Bears are a disaster.
Is about being the story. And
that's the only part. I was just like, why are you letting a writer write this and be around you? Like, what if he has a great rookie year and you know this book's going to come out and all of a sudden it's going to be like, hey, he thought about torpedoing the city of Chicago. And I know that people in Chicago haven't fully turned on him. They're desperate for him to be a franchise quarterback. Again, they've never had one in their history. So that was the only part of that. I'm just like, just keep it in-house, man. Mm. You want to do this? Keep it in-house. I don't blame you at all. I didn't like the public airing of it, I guess.
Mudball's PGA Championship's been an absolute disaster. And I...
thinking about this yesterday. I laughed again on a dog walk of just like, J Money. I don't know why I enjoy this one sucking. There's something about it. I'm really glad it's been terrible. And I know the leaderboard, like with the scores, aren't bad. But nobody's heard of any of these golfers.
How dare you?
It's like two names.
How dare you? Adam, I heard Scott's Buck right there in the mix.
Buck's like, you know, we all know Rob McIntyre. I'm like, who the hell is Rob McIntyre?
You know, Rob McIntyre won the Irish Open last year. Old Bob McIntyre?
Wake me up when he wins the Open Championship. It's been a disaster. It sucks when your sport has a bad big moment, right?
I'm just going to hold
on. What if Game 7 sucks on Sunday?
I mean, it'll suck. That sucks. I don't like when Game 7 suck, and I don't like when major championships suck.
Well, I don't either, but it could happen.
It very well could happen.
It's happening right now in the PGA.
The only thing I would say is there are a lot of guys near the top of the leaderboard who have never been atop the leaderboard in a situation like this, and usually what happens in those cases is what?
Well, all the good ones are complaining that it's bad conditions.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. Like, the bitching from golfers out of yesterday is loud. Laughable, and it's embarrassing. A lot of the guys they struggled. Scotty ended up saving his round a little bit. I think he was 2 under on the day.
Yes.
Xander had a rough day. Rory had a horrible day yesterday.
Horrible day.
A lot of big time guys. Spieth was bitching about it up and down. They weren't thrilled with the conditions. And if you don't know what that means, essentially it's been pouring rain in Charlotte, North Carolina.
They got 4 inches of rain in like 5 days leading up to the start of play.
So it's incredibly wet. It's incredibly muddy. And the players wanted to play preferred lies. And preferred lies essentially means your ball's a little plugged, got a little mud on it. You can pick it up in the fairway,
and I think
wipe it off, and put it back down and hit it. They're not allowing them to do that, which then leads to there being mud on a golf ball. And when there's mud on a golf ball, it's going to dictate the flight path of the ball. Now, it's hard for the professional golfer to see where exactly is the mud. If there's mud on the left, it's going to go to the right a little bit. If there's mud on the right, it's going to go to the left a little bit. You know, you play that game in your head. You're trying to angle your shots considering where the mud is on your ball. Them coming out and bitching about this, I love the sport. I'm excited for this weekend. I'm not going to overreact to the early leaderboard. There's a lot of guys that are right. Adam Scott's in the mix. Holma's off to a hot start. A lot of guys are playing well, and I do think this will even out a little bit with household names who will play much better today. So let's hold our thoughts on the leaderboard maybe going into the weekend. The second that these guys face any level of adversity, they just begin complaining and crying and whining. And it is so insufferable.
Because they were raised in country clubs.
Dude, you go play a round of golf at a local muni with goose poop on your ball all over the place. I don't lift, clean, and play every time I'm playing. I don't play preferred lies all year round. Like, it just, you look like a little bitch, so just hit your golf ball. Play. I thought Johnson Wagner was incredible. I know you didn't watch a second of it.
I love Johnson Wagner.
His mustache is phenomenal. Yeah. He was on the Golf Channel last night, and he's like, dude, play a different shot. Keep the ball low. If you don't know where the flight's going to go because there's mud on it, and on the 16th, it famously, a bunch of guys hit the ball in the water. They hooked it into the water. It was probably because of the mud. Play a little punch shot. Run it up the fairway. There's different ways that you can execute golf shots and play holes. You have to change your strategy a little bit. It was an embarrassing look for golfers and complaining yesterday.
That being said, it's an extraordinary amount of rain that golf course took. There was standing water at like Wednesday in the fairways. They do have the sub-air system on the greens, so the greens were playable, but I don't think.
To me, it's a purity thing. Playing lift clean and playing a major championship, like, what are we doing?
But
hit a fairway, just get to pick your ball up and clean it on every shot.
Sometimes the circumstances force it. Balls aren't plugging. To Sprague's point, you put the top three ranked golfers in the world in the same group to draw attention. They all double bogeyed the same hole.
Yeah.
The PGA's got to get over themselves a little bit and understand that the weather was going to get better. You won't have to do it on the weekends. You can move pin placements. You can move tees back. You can make it harder.
How did Jonathan Vegas shoot a 6-under yesterday? Or a 7-under? He just bogeyed his first hole of the day, by the way.
He's got a great porn name.
How did he shoot a 7-under with mud balls? How did
he
do it?
He made 9 birdies.
Oh, how did he do that, though? It was impossible to do, I thought. The best players in the world couldn't do it.
They only seem to complain when it's not going well.
I just like, to me, a much bigger impact on major championships is weather draws. When you have a Thursday, Friday, where like in the morning it's terrible weather, in the afternoon it's beautiful, and vice versa, guys get the short end of the stick constantly. Should we just suspend play? Go to a shotgun start because it's unfair because you have the number one player in the world in bad weather and the number 80 player in the world in great weather? Like, this is golf, man. Everybody's playing the same conditions. I was losing my mind yesterday.
Dustin Johnson's a +10.
I mean, you see, Phyllis Mickelson showed up like an hour before his tee time, essentially hit a couple of chips and shot like
an 80 number. I need to go look at the livers. There's
Koepka didn't look like he was having a good round.
Koepka was horrible yesterday.
There's a couple of them that have maintained a level of play, I think, because like DeChambeau has, just because he's wired that way.
Is it a bummer for you guys, the start of it? I know it's not over. We could have a new leaderboard by the end of the day.
I mean, no, when you see household names struggle, that's always a bummer, for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of guys generally, that you want
to
be in the
mix. It's great to see Jonathan Vegas at the top of the leaderboard. That's a cool story. I know you don't know who he is, but he won very early in his career. He was 20 or 21 out of Venezuela. He was a hot young, you know, name on the tour, and he's grinded away for 20 years. If he could win a major like this, I'm sure it would be Rich Beam-like, but that would be a cool story. I would be okay with that.
Never forget Rich Beam.
He beat Tiger. You don't remember Rich Beam?
I just said you can never forget Rich
Beam. Here's what I'll say. I understand your leaderboard complaint. If it holds this way, I will feel the same way as you, although there are certain stories that are enticing. Like, dude, the leader, Jonathan Vegas, just bogeyed his first hole of the day.
Morikawa's not very far behind.
Morikawa's right in the mix. Scheffler's in the mix.
Tommy
Fleetwood, John Rahm. Like, go down the list of guys. Oberg is 2 under par. Like, there's a ton of guys who are right there with a good day. Like, this leaderboard's going to look much different at the end of the day today.
Mudballs yesterday leading to a dicey leaderboard, but they are underway. Second round PGA Championship over there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Coming up next, are you surprised that this was a narrative as much as it was? That's next on The Fan. We were just debating during the break which item is in your financial wheelhouse of this Bill Walton auction that started. It ends June 11th. Obviously, they're raising money for UC San Diego. But, man, there's literally everything on this. His driver's license, a watch he wore, his NBC leather jackets.
What do you do with Bill Walton's driver's license?
You frame it.
And a tiny frame or in a bigger frame of other Bill Walton stuff?
I think you might
I think you find an autographed photo.
And then put the driver's license underneath
and then, like, put a license there. I'm like, why do you have his driver's license? Like, well, I bought it at an auction.
Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
There's a lot of really cool stuff on here. A whole bunch
of his old media credentials.
Yeah, the Jordan Finals ones would be pretty badass.
The one I want, but it would also break my heart, but I still would really covet it, and I might jump in. His 1996 NBA Finals media pass, because my beloved Sonics were in that series.
There was
also MJ's first title post his dad.
It was.
There was actually a series of tickets from the 1977 playoff run of the Trailblazers in there.
Mm.
Yeah, any Blazer, like his ring is available.
Hey, you can buy his championship ring.
Now hold on his point too. Like, I feel like somebody with the team should be buying that.
Yeah, that should be in a...
Yeah, there's some stuff where I'm like...
Is the team going to jump in at all?
Yeah.
I mean...
Or the NBA Hall of Fame.
Jody's spending money on that right now.
I don't know how much of his stuff is already in the Hall of Fame.
She cares about that piece of memorabilia.
What about his 2002 LeBron James St. Mary's versus Oak Hill game notes?
I saw that. You could buy I think the cheapest thing.
That's $36. I'd buy that.
The cheapest thing right now is, he has a San Diego Press Club award that you could, the current highest bid is $66, I believe.
I thought about looking at some of the old Clippers jerseys, too.
Old Clippers jerseys are pretty bad.
The baby blue ones.
You can buy an
autograph. Got to go into the savings to get those.
Yeah, you can buy a autographed letter that David Stern sent him that Bill Walton signed for $97 currently.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that look like they're in my wheelhouse financially. But
will,
like,
they be in 2 weeks?
Will they? Yeah, where is that going to go in two weeks? Yeah, you're right, because that's about when the thing will be wrapping up. So I'm keeping an eye on it. I have a tab bookmarked. I'm going to check it every day.
Do a little refresh. See where we're at right now.
I want to buy something.
Having a Bill Walton thing would be badass.
It would just be cool. You're donating the money. Like, you know, it's kind of a cool,
unique
thing.
There are so many things on here. It's wild.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. And I want to ask you guys this, and we don't probably have enough time for it. And I also want to talk about a Game 7 we've got after what last night's Game 6 was in Denver. Are you guys surprised the amount of conversation from everybody in the local media where the sale happens and immediately just becomes, are we relocating?
Yes.
It's been, I don't even know if it's close, that is largely what the conversation has been.
And I think, unfortunately, that speaks to so many of the things that Dirt has harped on with the fan base over the last year and a half.
Well, it's also the media. I'm talking about the media. The media. There's a lot of media here, and it seems to be that's the point of view. Are they going to relocate? Hey, I'd be worried about relocation. Hey, they might be relocating. How are they going to say they're going to relocate or not? Like, that's what the narrative has been.
Yeah, look, I mean, you never say never to anything.
No.
But the fear in my mind is very, very minimal of that actually happening. And especially because of what is going to transpire in the NBA this summer. And that is that the league's going to announce Seattle's getting a team and Vegas is getting a team. Because Jody's not selling this thing without that expansion fee money coming in first. We've known she was waiting for that all along. Mm. And so I think the signal's been sent up by the league. Adam Silver's been very open about it. Seattle's going to get a team and Vegas is going to get a team. So after those two things are done, like that was always the fear if somebody bought the team and moved them to Seattle, which would have just been a weird dynamic, and I don't think you could ever actually pull off because of the two fan bases on each side. But that's just fear-mongering that doesn't have any real basis in reality. I think the NBA regrets the mistake that they made with Seattle years ago, and that's hence why they're trying to get a team back there and have been for quite some time. They're not going to let that happen to another Northwest team. There's no chance in my mind. I know you never say never, but the odds of that happening are one in a million to me. And so, no, I think that is dominating a conversation when it doesn't have to. Mm. When the reality should be, we should be talking about what is a new owner, what kind of owner are we going to get? Local guy, not local guy, international guy, who's going to buy the team? Are they going to be aggressive? Do we get an Ishbia? Do we get a Ballmer? Do we get somebody? You know, Minnesota's going through a sale right now, and there's fears that behind the scenes they're not going to be very big spenders, and maybe they're cost-cutting a little bit. So every owner is going to be a little bit different. That, to me, is the story, not are they going to move to Nashville or Kansas City? I just, no chance, man.
Yeah, I just, it's just been something I noted of the day they announced the sale onward this week. And it's just like I've gotten it in my life. Yeah. Hey, man, I really hope they're not going to move. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to tell you it's impossible, but bit of a minor league mentality we're living with here with the media.
It's a minor league mentality, man.
Coming up next, are the Blazers moving? And it's just like,
no.
What indication says that right now to have that conversation?
Yeah, I don't.
I think it makes us look incredibly minor league. Yeah. It makes us look terrified. We're 4 days into the sale announcement and we're already jumping to we've lost our team.
A change is hard for a lot of people to handle in their lives. It's not an easy thing for some to navigate. Some handle it much better than others. This doesn't have to be a scary time, man.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. It feels like it's just a bunch of fear-mongering
to me. When the announcement came out, was pop champagne and celebrate. Yes. Dude, I want to throw a parade down Broadway with the fact that she's selling the team.
Fusion of, I just of want life, stability. Of energy, yeah. of yeah. money, yep. of creativity, of a different way to look at it, yep. a chance to, you know, kind of restart things for a franchise that
needs a restart.
Has a proud history, but the last decade hasn't been great.
I'll take it a step further. I got even excited about the chance of someday adding hockey if we get an owner who's willing to share the building or eager to maybe
grow their
profile.
If you get a rich enough dude that's like, hey.
Dude, let's do it. Let's go all in. I got a building. I'm going to have the Moda Center. We're going to revamp it. Let's bring an NHL team. That's where my mind went of the positives that this could turn into. Not are we moving to Kansas City? The hell out of here with that crap.
Loaded second hour. We've got a game 7 this weekend because of what happened in a game 6. And I'm super excited about this, and Dirt's going to make fun of me for it. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.